Torah tells us in Parshas Vayeshev, the tragic story that eventually ends in triumph, but Yosef is sold by his brothers as a slave to be sold in Mitzrayim. And the pasuk says, "Vayeshu lecholechem." First, when he comes, "Vaykachu vayashlichu oto abora." They throw him into a pit. "Vaborekein bomayim." There's no water in the bor. Rashi, quoting Chazal, said, "There's no water in the bor, but there are snakes and scorpions." "Vayeshu lecholechem." "Vayisu einayim." "Vayimu minei orchat yishmaelim b'migilad." You see that there's a caravan of Yishmaelim coming from Gilad. Ugmaleim nosim nechol tu tzri v'lo tolchim lorid Mitzrayim, and they're on the way to Mitzrayim. And therefore the brothers decide to sell Yosef to these Yishmaelim in the caravan to head down to Mitzrayim. Chazal asked a very simple question. Why did the Torah bother telling us what the caravan was carrying with them? What difference does it make what the caravan was carrying with them? And Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says, "Lama pirseim hakosav et masa'am." Why does the Torah tell us what it was carrying? "Lodia matan scharen shal tzadikim." To teach us the reward given to tzadikim. "Shein darken shal arviim laseit ala neft v'itran shereichan ra." Generally speaking, the arviim, the Arabs of those days, the Yishmaelim, what they would be carrying, it's like they have now oil, things that smelled terrible, neft and itran, foul-smelling fuels. That's what they normally carried with them. V'lazer, but this caravan was unusual. Nizdamnu b'samin, sweet-smelling fragrances, spices. So that no harm should come to Yosef when he's traveling with this caravan, and there won't be any reach ra. He won't have to suffer the foul smelling odors of what's normally carried by these Orchot Yishmaelim, by the caravans. Very nice. But let's be honest. This is Matan Scharin Shel Tzadikim. Matan Scharin Shel Tzadikim would be that 5 minutes after the Yishmaelim left with Yosef, they said, "You know, Yosef, you're such a nice guy. We're going to let you go home. And here, take a camel of ours so you can go scout, you can get home quickly. And in case you need some spending money, here it is, and we'll give you food for the way. And maybe if you want to, we'll give you an escort guard so your brother's over." That's Matan Scharin Shel Tzadikim. Matan Scharin Shel Tzadikim, no, Yosef's still going to go to Mitzrayim, he's still going to be a slave. So he won't have to smell some bad odors for a few days. That's the big Scharin Shel Tzadikim. That's what the Torah is telling us. That's what Yosef deserved. The answer is yes. Because it's very important to understand something. That people who are going through very challenging times. Yosef is going to suffer tremendously physically. He's going to have to work as a slave, eventually be thrown into a dungeon. But even more so, Yosef is going through an extremely hard time emotionally. Put yourselves, or we need to put ourselves for a moment in Yosef's shoes. His mother died when he was young, and he was raised by a very loving father. And he has 11 brothers, 10 of whom don't really care for him, 10 of whom betrayed him, 10 of whom sold him as a slave. He's cut off from his father, from his younger brother. He's being sent to a foreign country, maybe never to see them again. No means of communication. Very little hope, if any, for the future. Imagine Yosef's loneliness. imagine his sense of abandonment. And that can be much more devastating than the hard work of a slave. And in the midst of this sense of abandonment, of loneliness, there's a little flame of hope. Yosef knew what Yishmaelim normally carried. Everybody knew. But somehow or another, on that second day of the journey, within the first few hours, Yosef, who hadn't lost his sense of smell, noticed something unusual. It was sweet smelling. It wasn't foul odors. This is very unusual. Why? Then he realized that there was a message. Message from he who cannot be seen. Yes, Yosef. Times that you're going to be facing are going to be very challenging. For the moment you've been abandoned by your brothers, cut off from your father, and knowing what's happened with your younger brother, your mother's no longer alive. But I, the Ribono Shel Olam, haven't forgotten you. I'm there with you. And that is the important Matan Scharin Shel Tzadikim. The Tzadik is able to receive and discern a message from the Ribono Shel Olam that even in times of tragedy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with him. Yes, it's true. It may not be happening exactly the way we would like it to happen. The times may be much more difficult than we would like. But we won't have to face it alone. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that originally Birkat HaMazon had three brachot. Birkat HaZan, Birkat HaAretz, the brach of Yushalayim. And in a much later date, the fourth brach was added, the brach of HaTov VaHaMeitiv. And when was the brach of HaTov VaHaMeitiv added? After Churban Bayit Sheni, a number of decades later, Shimon Bar Kosba, renamed Shimon Bar Kochba, led a rebellion against the Roman Empire. And at first he was successful. But then he was defeated. In battle after battle, and he had one stronghold left, the city of Beitar. And on Tisha B'Av, 65 years approximately after the fall of the Beis Hamikdash, the city of Beitar fell. Thousands upon thousands of Jews had sought refuge in the city of Beitar. And the Romans slaughtered everybody. No mercy. Chazal described that the blood from the city of Beitar flowed like a river. But Adrianus Caesar, Shchikat Samos, Hadrian the emperor, wasn't satisfied. He wanted to punish the Jews, but the problem was the Jews were all dead. So how do you punish dead Jews? Evil people always think of ways. And he ordered that the Jews, the bodies, should not be buried. Let them sit out in the field, in the Judean area, in the desert, in the summer, and let them rot away. And time passes, weeks and months, and he refuses to allow the bodies to be buried. Until quite a bit of time later, a year maybe, he finally relents, and the bodies are buried. But the remaining Jews noticed an amazing thing. In all this time, the bodies didn't decompose. There was no terrible stench of corpses. And they decided to institute the fourth bracha to Birkat HaMazon, known as Hatov HaMeitiv. Hatov Shalo Hisrichu, that the bodies didn't decompose. VaHaMeitiv Shenitnu LaKvura, that they were allowed to finally be buried. And why did they add this into Birkat HaMazon? Explains the Meshech Chochma. If you take a look at Birkat HaMazon, there's a bit of a synopsis of Jewish history. There's the bracha of Hazan, which commemorates the falling of the man in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. There's the bracha of Haaretz, which commemorates the conquest of Eretz Canaan, given over to the Jews in the time of Yeshua. And there's the bracha of Yerushalayim, in the time of David and Shlomo, capturing Yerushalayim, building Yerushalayim, having a Beis HaMikdash. All wonderful stations in the history of Am Yisrael. There's one more station in the history of Am Yisrael. And it's not a pleasant one. And that's the long history of Golus. And it's going to be a very long journey. It's going to be very long, but it won't be lonely. Because the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to the people after the fall of Beitar was, yes, the Bar Kokhba rebellion ended in disaster. It's true that Bar Kokhba is not the Mashiach. And it is quite evident that the Beis HaMikdash isn't going to be rebuilt so fast. We're in for a long, hard journey. But there's only one reason that the bodies didn't decompose, and that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with us. And He hasn't forgotten us. And that message is so crucial that a fourth bracha was instituted on a permanent basis in Birkat HaMazon. The challenge may be hard, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with us. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Imo Anochi V'tzara, you have your trials and tribulations, I'm there with you, then we too have to learn to emulate the Ribono Shel Olam. V'alachta v'drachav. That when people are suffering through difficult times, we have to learn to send that same message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us when we go through difficult times. When a person, unfortunately, is sitting Shiva, so it's incumbent upon the community, to engage in Nichum Aveilu. It's a very interesting halacha about Nichum Aveilu. You come to the house of the Avel, you're not allowed to talk. Unless the Avel wants to engage in conversation, you have to sit there quietly. Most of them want to engage in conversation. Then you're free to converse. But the basic rule is, unless they want to engage in conversation, you have to be quiet. You say to yourself, what type of Nichum Aveilim is there? I go, I sit, and I'm quiet, I don't say anything. But you have to realize that nothing that you're going to say is going to make everything all better. Unless you're capable of Tchiyas HaMeisim, you can't make things all better. Your Nichum Aveilim is that you came, you sent a message that I care. I cared enough to come. Because the other feels so lonely, so abandoned. You come in and you sit down, and without saying anything, you're sending the message that you're not alone. I can't fix the boo-boo. You can't just give it a kiss like your mother does and it goes away. But I can at least sit here with you you won't feel the pain of loneliness. And that's the message that Kodesh Baruch Hu sent Yosef. Even tzaddikim undergo very, very difficult times. Even tzaddikim would like their outcome very different. But if we're ever faced with such difficult challenges, we need to heighten our senses and to notice that that which could be surrounding us with foul odors might be some sweet smelling fragrance. It doesn't make everything all better, but it means that my long journey will not have to be done in loneliness. Yimau nechi b'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be there with us.